this week, July 22nd, 2014, on The Digital Story. Dusting off the DSLR. Free photo workshop. Macro photography. And a great lens deal. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. So happy to be here with you this week. Have a variety of interesting topics for you. We have the weekly update. We're going to talk a little bit about dusting off the DSLR. I have something called 1-to-1-to-1. Yeah, I didn't mention it in the billboard, but it's a good story for you. Talking about macro photography, and I have a contest. I think it's a contest. Well, we'll find out more when we get to it, but you'll have the opportunity to win free tuition to one of the photo workshops in 2015. All right, well, let's get going with the weekly update here. So this is pretty fun. We have three gear things this week. We had some good equipment announcements. Starting out with Ricoh announcing the Pentax XG1. And this is compliments of DP Review, this report. And the XG1 is a super zoom. And when I say super zoom, I mean whopper. 52x zoom, 52 times zoom lens. That means it goes from 24 millimeter to 1,248 millimeters. Now that is a zoom lens, my friend. It has image sensor stabilization, and you're going to need it. you're going to need it from about a third of the way all the way to the end there. And it has a smaller sensor. You know, these bridge zooms, part of the way they pull this off is that they don't use the larger sensors. They use smaller sensor. I think it's 1/2 inch sensor, which is about standard size for these bridge cameras. And really the only disappointing spec I saw on this camera was that both the electronic viewfinder and LCD were fairly low in their pixel count, 400,000 pixels for the LCD. You know, these days we're seeing up around, 900,000, a million pixels and so forth. So I thought that was a little low, but everything else looked pretty good on it. It will go on sale in August for $396. If you're looking for an all-in-one camera that you can just throw in your backpack or your suitcase, if you're a business traveler, going to exotic lands, going on safari with this thing, then for $396, you can really pack a wallop. And that is the Pentax XG1 Super Zoom camera. In other news, Hasselblad. Yes, we're going to talk about Hasselblad for a second. Medium format story here. And this is compliments of Petapixel. They are releasing the CFV 50C CMOS back for V-System cameras. Now, if you don't shoot Hasselblad, I probably might as well have been saying blah, 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 right? There's a lot of words there and very few of them made sense. What they've done is that all these old Hasselblads that are still around and available and functioning, and I have one of them myself. I have a 500C Hasselblad. I have a couple lenses for it. I had to use it back in the day for my advertising work I used to shoot. And I bought it used, way long time ago. It's been serviced and still working. It works great, in fact. In fact, I'm waiting for, this is a little bit of an aside. So, we go, okay, detour alert here. I'm waiting for something called Hasselnuts. I know it's a weird name, Hasselnuts. But what they have designed, it's a Kickstarter program. What they have designed is a back for my Hasselblad, my 500C, that will hold my iPhone 5S. and so that I can use the camera on my iPhone 5S with a Hasselblad. That is wacky. I'll be reporting on it if I ever get it. I still haven't got it from them. They're running a little behind schedule on their production. However, you know, that little enterprise for me, that little Kickstarter investment, was, I think, about $250. This back that we're talking about here, released by Hasselblad, is going to be a bit more. And of course, what it does, it allows you to have a digitized image from your Hasselblad. It turns it into a digital medium format camera. It's, well, let me read you what Hasselblad says about it. Actually, I think this is what Petapixel said. Designed with simple operation in mind, the back requires zero cables for connection, a first of its kind. I wonder if they knew that that kind in mind thing was rhyming when they wrote it. As for the technical details, it's capable of up to ISO 6400, 1.5 frames per second, 16-bit color, and it features a 3-inch 24-bit color display, and it uses a CF card for storage when not tethered to a computer, which it doesn't have to be. It even has its own battery. So this is pretty crazy. You know, the parent company designing a digital back that will fit on a camera that essentially, you know, went to the moon. It's that old. You know, that's where Hasselblad's really first got their notoriety, is they were used in space by NASA. This camera is old, and yet they've designed a digital back that'll work on it and all the cameras up to where Hasselblad started making digital cameras. So pretty neat stuff. I would love to have one. There's only one catch, and that catch is that this back will probably sell for $15,000. Yeah, 15K. 15 large ones, as we say out on the street. So that is a little bit of a drawback for me. I mean, I'm not surprised. Now, it's funny, when Petapixel reported about this, they said at the decent price of $15,000, which I guess, considering it being Hasselblad in medium format and doing all the things it does, that they might be right. I don't know. I'm not sure that all of my Micro Four Thirds gear combined equals $15,000, and I have a lot of gear there. For those of you that are interested in medium format, for those of you that have a Hasselblad or have always dreamed of having one, and you want a digital back for it, it's going to be the CFV50C, only 15K. All right, and that was compliments of Petapixel. And finally, here's a deal that's a little bit cheaper. It's kind of cool. You know, I have held off on this lens. I'm going to talk about the Olympus 75 to 300 millimeter f4.8 to 6.72 lens. Olympus redesigned this lens, I think in January 2013 is when they released it, and they lowered the price too. And when they brought it out $549, and it's received very good reviews. In fact, I did a little post about this on the Digital Story, and I pointed to a DxO Mark report, and it outperformed the other lenses in its class and really had pretty decent sharpness. User reviews who have commented when they racked the lens all the way out to 300 millimeter, which is essentially a 600 millimeter equivalent, said, well, you know, it got a little soft all the way out at 300. That may or may not be the case. A lot of times that softness comes from camera shake, and they didn't have that thing locked down on a tripod, which I think you have to do when you get out to 600 millimeters. I don't know. I ordered one, and I'll let you know after I test it. But now I've buried the lead here, I think. The lead is that is now on sale for $499. From B&H with free expedited shipping. What expedited ship, this is kind of a new thing for B&H. If you're right around the East Coast area where they are there, that's one day. If you're a little bit farther out on the East Coast, that's 2 days. And then for those of us on the West Coast or in the Midwest, that's 3 days. But 3 days, even for me, you know, way on the other side of the country, 3 days free shipping is pretty cool at no cost. That's right. So you can get the lens for $499. And I think it's a pretty good deal based on what other TDS readers have reported in the last year, based on the reports I've read about it, the lab tests, all that good stuff. I needed something that was longer. I don't shoot super long stuff with Micro Four Thirds that much. So I didn't want to spend a whole lot of money. I didn't want to spend, you know, $1,500 on a lens like this. So coming in at $499 seems like a good deal. And I'll test it up when I get it, and I'll either follow up on the podcast or put a little report on the digital story. And that is this week's weekly update. Story number two, dusting off the DSLR. So I have a big corporate shoot coming up. It's actually a big corporate project that incorporates a number of shoots. And I think there'll be at least a half dozen different days of work with this spread out over a 3 month period. And there could be up to, I think, eight days of shooting. And because these images will be used in a variety of ways, all the way up to billboards for some of them, and because of the way the client wants the pictures taken, in other words, for the portraits, they want, you know, the lens to be right there on the subject, and then they want this background to be very creamy, very smooth and creamy. Based on, you know, those two factors alone, I'm going to use the DSLR, I'm going to use the Canons for this photo shoot. And it's very interesting because I've been traveling so much lately that I haven't been shooting with DSLRs. Now, as you know, I'm not an all or nothing person, and I have not advocated selling off your DSLR if you go to Micro Four Thirds or any mirrorless camera. I think DSLRs still have a very important place. And it's funny, I've been challenged on that a lot lately from people who have switched over completely to mirrorless cameras, going, well, you know, name a situation where, you know, your mirrorless camera wouldn't get the job done. Well, I think this is actually one of them. I can get a soft background with my Olympus OMD and the 75 f1.8, but that's about, you know, that lens probably does the best job of softening the background. And what if I don't want to shoot at that focal length? Whereas on the DSLR, I can put my 70 to 200 f2.8 on there, shoot at any focal length, and even be able to soften the background more. So there are, you know, there are just certain things that DSLRs do very well. Not to mention that when you're showing up for a job where you're getting paid thousands of dollars, that you really look like you have, you know, the big guns. And yes, psychology and appearance is still part of it in this game. And I've been challenged on that too. You know, they go, well, you know, just put a grip on your microphone. Well, you know, it's still not a big old DSLR with that fat 70 to 200 millimeter lens on there. So appearance is part of it. Now, what's been interesting about this is because I haven't shot with the Canons for a while, I start shooting in about a week. I better pull those things out and start practicing, because the other thing I don't want to do is stand there with, let's say, an art director over my shoulder looking around for where the menu button is or the play button or some other control on my camera. You know, you want to really look like you know what you're doing and be operating the camera smoothly and efficiently and all that sort of stuff. I broke out the gear today, actually. And, you know, I set up a little kit that I'm going to carry around with me for a week or so. So, you know, I've been carrying just Micro Four Thirds with me on my day-to-day stuff. So I'm carrying around the Canon 70D, and I have the 40 millimeter f2.8 pancake on there because that keeps the camera real small. Then I'm carrying around the 100 millimeter f/2.8 macro with the hybrid image stabilization, which, by the way, I just love that lens. It is kind of fun being able to shoot with that lens again. Now, on one hand, I really do love that Canon lens, that 100 millimeter f/2.8 super hybrid optical stabilized lens. It looks good. Everything. It takes great pictures. But if I compare it, if I set it side by side to my Olympus 60 millimeter f/2.8 macro lens, which is also killer and also takes great pictures, it's amazing the size difference. I mean, that is the one thing that has really jumped out at me since I repacked my everyday bag to include some of this DSLR equipment, that some of these lenses, the sizes are just so great. And for instance, that 75 to 300 I was talking about in the weekly update, you put a 75 to 300 on a DSLR, that lens is going to be many times bigger than the 14.8 ounce lens that you can carry for your mirrorless camera. Very interesting stuff. The point of this, and the reason why I decided to bring it up and make it one of the bits for today, is that you have to practice. You have to get to the point to whatever camera you're using, you're very comfortable with, because it's like driving a car or anything else. If you're distracted by operating the equipment, then you're not going to be as effective actually using it. And in the case of a photo shoot, I think it really hampers your creativity. It really hampers your ability to see the shot, because you actually are over on the other side of your brain when you're figuring out how to work the aperture and the color balance and the autofocusing system. You're actually on the wrong side of your brain for doing something that's creative and wonderful. And, you know, really what the clients are paying us to do, or anyone that asks us to do a photo shoot for them, is to do something, you know, beautiful and wonderful. They assume we know how to use our cameras, and that should be a safe assumption. What they want is someone that can create great images with that equipment. And so that's what I have to do on this project. And in order to do that, I've got to get out those DSLRs, dust them off, and use them again for a while. Now, it has been fun doing that. You know, today was the first day. It's amazing how nice and big they feel in the hand and everything. And it's fun to shoot with an optical viewfinder again. I do like optical viewfinders. It's good. It's actually good, and it's interesting. And so the other point that I want to make is one that I've made before, which is just because you do switch to mirrorless or some other camera system and you have some nice DSLR equipment, really think it through. If you're contemplating getting rid of your DSLR, really think it through that you won't encounter a situation where you really need it. And then if you do, make sure that you practice with whatever gear you're going to use for a big trip or photo assignment or anything that's coming up. Be up to speed before you walk out the door. So that is dusting off the DSLR. I'm hoping I start shooting next week. It's very exciting. And maybe I'll have a little bit more to report about that. Okay, story number three. This one's called 1:1:1. 1:1:1. So it's like 1:1:1:1. So why am I talking about this? Well, this is a little technical bit. And every now and then, I think it's a good idea to throw a technical bit into the show. It's a technical reminder that when you're using your camera, one f-stop equals one full shutter speed equals one full ISO setting. Now, obviously, you know, experienced photographers know this well and they use this, but still, I think it's a good idea to just review it for those that are maybe kind of on the bubble with these sort of things. Okay, let me talk about this in a bit more detail. So for example, I need a faster shutter speed. And let's say that you have a lens that tops out at f5.6 or something like that, as for the maximum aperture at the focal length you want to use. So you go, I want a faster shutter speed, but I'm already shooting at f f/5.6. So you go, okay, in order to, you know, do a faster shutter speed, let's say go from 1/250th of a second to 1/500th of a second, one full thing. I'm already wide open on my lens, so don't have anywhere to go there. So what I do need to do then is increase my ISO from ISO 800 to 1600. And then that would allow you to raise your shutter speed because, you know, they're all equal, 1:1:1. When you get this in your head, then when you're in the field, you can start going, okay, I can either open up the aperture if I want to raise the shutter speed, or I can increase the ISO. And then it works the other way too. If you're playing with aperture, then you say, okay, I can either make a shutter speed adjustment or I can make an ISO adjustment. All three of them work together. And it's something that if you're not super comfortable with and you're not super familiar with, it's something to really read up on and play with because it really helps you when you have to make quick decisions out in the field. What's the best way to solve this problem? Now, your camera will help you with the light meter and everything, but you kind of have to know where to go to begin with. You don't want to turn this all over to the camera because, you know, in all honesty, Lord knows what it'll do. It might get you the picture, but it might not get you the picture the way that you want it. You know, it might not stop the action, which is what you were looking for when you wanted to raise that shutter speed up. So anyway, so that's 1:1:1. Just, it's a quick little tip. Just keep in mind that one f-stop equals one shutter speed equals one ISO setting. That tip alone, if you get your head around it, you will really take more control of your camera and suddenly aperture priority mode and manual mode and shutter priority mode will be a lot easier for you to use. Let's go on to another story. I have all sorts of cool stuff today. Let's go over to the screening room and take a seat. And today, this is a brand new one. This just came up on lynda.com. So this is like a debut, right? So not only do we have a featured artist in the screening room, we have a debut. And our debut is Joseph Linaski. And Joseph has a new title called Shooting Macros and Close-Ups. And it's a Photography 101 course. So it's actually Photography 101, Shooting Macros and Close-Ups. Now, I know Joseph very well. We have been on This Week in Photo many times together. We have drank beer in Germany together. And, you know, we exchange mails every now and then. Emails every now and then. And he's just a terrific, guy. But he's a very good teacher. And he came over to Lynda through the Video to Brain deal. He was an instructor for Video to Brain. And now in the U.S., those subscriptions are handled by lynda.com. They have some sort of agreement. You know, they picked up some great talent. They picked up Mikkel Olin. They picked up Joseph Linaski, many others. So we have Joseph now in the lynda.com fold, and he's done a number of titles for them. And his latest one is Photography 101, Shooting Macros and Close-Ups. And this is just fun stuff. I'll tell you, one of the ways to really shake up your photography and do something interesting is to shoot close-up or to shoot macro photography. And on the video that I have that will be on our landing page, he's using a Micro Four Thirds, DSLR, and his iPhone and showing you lighting techniques and shooting techniques with these devices. Very cool stuff. You can watch Joseph in action by visiting the TDS screening room at lynda.com. That would be lynda.com/thedigitalstory. That's how you get to our screening room landing page. And that's LYNDA. And while you're there, you can start your 7-day free trial to watch other design, photography, and computing titles, plus every other topic in the library, including my brand new Photographing High School Senior Portraits. So anyway, this week's screening room selection is also a debut and is shooting macros and close-ups. It's a good one. You might want to check it out. Okay, story number five. We are rolling. We got a head of steam here. Every year, I, release a new slate of workshops. I do the digital story workshop schedule. We have one more workshop this year. We're going to do the Fall Color and Safari West workshop in October. But I'm already working on next year's schedule. If you follow the workshop program that I do, then you know that it's usually a mix of repeat workshops, ones that tend to be popular, and then I try to add one or two workshops each year. So I thought what I would do while I'm working on the list of workshops for 2015 and thinking about what new ones I want to add, I want to open it up. I want to open it up to you. So here's what I'm going to do here. In fact, I think I'll just read you a little bit of copy that I wrote here, because I want to get this right. So as many of you know, I'd like to introduce at least one new topic a season. And I'd like to hear from you, in quotes, what theme would you love for me to teach in 2015? What theme would you love for me to teach in 2015? Send your idea to Derrick@thedigitalstory.com, D-E-R-R-I-C-K, @thedigitalstory.com, with the subject line, my favorite workshop topic. Get that off to me here in the next week or two. Probably in early August, I'll close it off. What I'm hoping is that one of those ideas just jumps out at me and that I can use it in the 2015 workshop schedule. If I use your idea, if your idea sings to me and I use it, then I am going to give you free tuition to that workshop. You'll have free tuition to the workshop that you suggested as your favorite workshop topic. So I'll do one of those. And so I'm only going to pick, one from this list. I'll award one free tuition. So all you got to do again is to send an email with your idea to Derrick@thedigitalstory.com with the subject line, my favorite workshop topic. Get it off to me as soon as you can, really. Think about it over the next day or two and then dash it off to me and answer the question, what theme would you love for me to teach in 2015? I really want to award a free workshop tuition because that means then I will have scored a great new idea to add to the 2015 lineup, and I'll get to meet you. So, that is definitely a win-win. So that is the free photo workshop for 2015. Toss your idea in the ring and let's see what happens. Okay, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news from SizzlePix. We are near the end of our July special. That's right. There's a July special going on for TDS listeners and readers. You get 20% off the price of your SizzlePix, any size, any quantity. All you have to do when you submit your order, and by the way, they simplified online ordering, make it a little bit easier on you, is put The Digital Story or TDS in the comments field, and they will take 20% off the price. And of course, they are sponsors of the monthly photo assignment. The photo assignment for July is smoking hot. Smoking hot. Personally, I think that is a fun topic because there are just so many different ways to interpret smoking hot. So take your, best shot at it. Send it in. If you have any questions, go to the member info page at thedigitalstory.com. But essentially, you send an email attachment to me with a subject line, July 2014 monthly photo assignment. Don't worry about the size of the picture. Send any size that you want. Get it in by the end of the month. One of those people will be the SizzlePix pick of the month and get a free SizzlePix. Okay. Everyone else, though, you have till the end of July to get your 20% discount. That is a bird in the hand. Also, by the way, that is at sizzlepix.com, sizzlpix.com. And if you want to print at home, don't forget our friends over at Red River Paper. They make a variety of surfaces, including Polar Metallic, which is just this crazy surface that is terrific for anything that you want to have intense color and sharpness. The nice thing about Red River Paper, not only do they have the variety of surfaces, they also have great pricing because they make the paper and they sell the paper to you. They have a tile on all the pages of the digital story where you can go to their own landing page. They're also offering 50% discount on UPS ground shipping. No minimum purchase required. And you just use the code GROUND50C to get that. And they have a rockin' Facebook page over at facebook.com/Red River Paper. Okay, I think that's going to do it for me this week. So I'm going to get cozy with my DSLR. And I'm working on some other terrific stories. So make sure you come back next week and hear what we have to report. And then we'll also see next week what's going on in the world of photography. And later on this week, after you listen to this podcast, I'll also be on This Week in Photo with Frederick Van Johnson. So if you want to watch that, he usually puts that show up around Friday or so. And so we'll have, in fact, I'm going to record that right after this. So anyway, come back next week. Have a great week, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye now.